In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Happy birthday, St. Andrew's Church. Wow. years. What a witness you have offered to the world for 125 years. And what a future you have ahead of you. God is good. God is very, very good. And I have to confess, it is really very overwhelming for me to be standing here today. I am humbled. I am honored to be asked to share this day with all of you. While many of you do not know me, as I serve as the Bishop Suffragan in Connecticut, it is you. It is you who have formed me. It is you who have informed my life of faith and my understanding of the gospel. Through your words and your deeds, you have called me to my faith in God. Those profound words are not hyperbole. They are true. St. Paul says to the Romans, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. Your voice has gone out to all the earth, and your words to the end of the world. My family and I arrived here at St. Andrew's in 1968. I was just 6 years old, and I sat about three quarters of the way back, not far from that column on the right. And my faith came from what I saw and what I heard and what I learned from you. Singing in the junior choir, I learned that God is a God of unconditional love. And I learned that unconditional love nurtures curiosity. As my friends and I wandered like spies through every nook and cranny of this building, we searched for treasures, found adventures, and collected stories that would last a lifetime. Our adult leaders knew of our wanderings, and they kept a watchful eye. Like the psalmist who assures us, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. And our leaders as shepherds serving the good shepherd did just that. The God of unconditional love encourages us to try on new things, to dare to reach for new dreams. And so at 12, I tried on singing a solo, the solo for I Wonder As I Wander, on Christmas Eve. The choir director, Harry Kelton, gently told me I was not going to be singing that role on Christmas Eve. And yet, I tried it on. And I learned the words to this wonderful song. I wonder as I wander out under the sky how Jesus the Savior did come for to die. For poor ornery people like you and like I wonder as I wander out under the sky. That song, those words of comfort, I still sing almost every day. More than any song I have ever sung, that one has loved my heart and reminded me that day after day, Jesus Christ came for people just like you and me, for all of humanity and for all the people of the world, to offer forgiveness of sins and new life, new hope, a new day every day, because God is faithful. In 1975, my brother Craig and I stood at this altar with my family, and we were baptized. It was a week before my confirmation. It seems like our baptism was one of those whoops that we forgot to do that in when you were younger moments of my childhood. So the week before I was confirmed, I was baptized here. And the minister of the church looked at my brother, 2 years older than I, and said, "I made the water especially cold for you." More than appropriate. And then he looked at me. And as I remember it, he then said, "God's love is like a rope around your waist. It will always hold you. If you feel unsteady, it will hold you. If you feel like you're falling, it will hold you. It will never let you go. Because God will never let you go. God will always, always love you." Years later, trying to make sense of a senseless death of one of my closest friends in a drowning accident, I ranted and I railed to this God because my loss and my grief had no logical place to go. And so I railed to the Lord and to the wind. And suddenly, I felt held. I felt that rope around my waist. And I knew I wouldn't stumble, and I knew I wouldn't fall. And I knew I was loved and that God would never let me go. "I gotcha," God said. And its warmth held me. And it still does. The collect for St. Andrew's Day prays, "Give us who are called by your holy word grace to follow him without delay. And bring those near to us into his gracious presence." At the risk of being overly self-referential in my storytelling, I hope you know that you have taught me that grace. Know that there are countless others whose lives have also been touched by your sharing of that grace, so that their faith is alive and God, they know, is real and loves them unconditionally. But you also taught me something else about God. You taught me that God's love is not just in my heart to be hoarded or to be kept as an unshared treasure. It is to be shouted from every rooftop. It is to be shared in a meal or in a touch or a kind word. And to be revealed to those who feel unseen or unloved or unimportant when the winds of culture turn their back on them and deny that they are there or that they matter, much less that they are loved. You showed me again and again that our faith is most alive not in this building, but when it is lived out in the world. As a child, I was watching and listening as this parish shared about its mission trips to Little Roses in Honduras and the soup kitchen hosted at the cathedral. And it was clear to me, even as a child, that the faith that you were passing on to me was to be shared. Living our faith in the world, in word and deed, with our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our towns, wherever God has planted us to grow. In the Episcopal Church in Connecticut, we talk a lot about going out into our neighborhoods to join Jesus because we know he's already there. And so we're called to join Jesus in the revealing of hope and new life. We're called to notice who is collaborating with Jesus in this work. And who is God calling us to join there? It's a daunting invitation, and it can feel overwhelming. And yet it begins with a lesson that you taught me. Jesus is with you. He is as close to you as your very breath. He is standing with you, next to you, holding you like a rope around your waist. And from this strong, holy place, God is calling you to try something new. to expand your understanding of how God's love can be lived and shared. Imagine with me that Jesus Christ is walking through the streets of Wellesley right now. Where is he? Is he walking around Lake Waban? Is he in Starbucks or Pete's? Is he sitting in a school classroom at the college or the Wellesley Middle School or countless other schools in this town? Is he dining in one of the downtown restaurants? And if he is in one of those restaurants, I'm curious, is he helping out in the kitchen? Or is he sitting at a table and noticing, feeling the emotions of those in the room? The woman sitting alone in the corner. The couple clearly working some out at the table next door. The family that's rejoicing in the center of the room. Imagine Jesus in Wellesley. Where is he? Imagine yourself walking down the streets of Wellesley, and that Jesus is walking with you, and Jesus is seeing everything you see. And then invite Jesus to say, "This is what I'm seeing. See through my eyes." What is God? What is Jesus Christ calling us to notice? Who is God calling us to notice? Just outside our doors. How is he inviting us to see the world, not as we see it, but as he sees it, and to respond with his love? Respond with his love to a world that is longing to know hope, that knows brokenness, that knows hurt, and knows division. How is God calling us to share God's love to those in our neighborhood who are experiencing pain or suffering, causing the world around them to feel unsteady? And they are unaware that there's a rope of love that holds them. How is God calling us to be a part of that hope-filled journey to new life for the people outside our doors, poor, ordinary people, just like you and me? Where and how is God calling us to testify to God's love, to witness to the love of Jesus, through our pastoral presence, through our noticing of others, to those in obvious need, those whose needs we might not immediately see, and those whose needs we might not have any idea how to address with anything more than a kind word or an acknowledgement of the humanity of another, saying, "You matter. You matter. I see you, and you matter." Jesus is right here with us, and he loves us. You showed me that. And I believe that right now, he is calling us, he is asking us, inviting us to explore how we're going to share that love. And so I'm curious, how in the next 125 years shall you and I witness to that truth? Amen.